The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill. He is Ewan Cameron. How are you doing? You all right?
I'm just going to say it from the top of the show.
Right.
Raging, pissed off,
yep.
Angry,
mm-hmm.
Annoyed. Mm-hmm. One of the worst weekends I've had in a long time.
But Ewan, the Olympics will be back in 4 years. Don't be so upset. I tell you this, right? Uh-huh. And it looked like they'll be really good in LA with the Hollywood sign and all the rest of it.
What a pish weekend that was. I mean, just this time last week, I was screaming about splitting the old firm, putting in a title challenge. We'll get to Hearts versus Dundee at Dense Park very soon.
You're looking bronzed.
I was in the garden all weekend.
Yeah, you're looking...
It was a lovely day yesterday.
You've got a wee bit... You've caught the sun.
Caught the sun a wee bit.
Yeah.
It kind of cheered me up after watching that pish against Dundee. Jeez.
That was... I mean, obviously, I had a terrible, terrible Saturday.
Yeah, I know. I was with you.
Because Falkirk beat them fair one, so...
I spent a bit of time with you on Saturday.
So we were in... You were having a great laugh at my expense.
Yes. And then 5.30 arrived.
And then 5.30 arrived and you were 3-0 down at half-time. And I was like, well, you know, bad things happen to bad people. That's what I was thinking. How else was your weekend, football aside?
So, football out the way. There's a couple of things I want to bring up. Mm-hmm. It's what we do about the weekend.
Oh, by the way, I should say, loving your comments. We'll get to them in just 3 seconds. As ever, leave them on YouTube. Just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yeah.
Mind subscribe and all the rest of it. And leave your stream of consciousness throughout the podcast.
Yeah. I did see a few comments about the stream of consciousness.
Yeah, and they were mostly to do with a stream of pish coming out your mouth.
Thanks, Stephen.
Yeah.
So, I always like to talk about the weekend.
You do.
And on Saturday at 20 to 1, I got on a train
mm-hmm.
to go to the studio in Edinburgh to do the big Saturday football show.
Yeah.
And I had my headphones on, sat in the train, minding my own business, and I just... I don't know for what reason, decided to just look around where I was
mm-hmm.
in the train cart.
Carriage, they call it.
It's not a cart.
It's a carriage, a train carriage.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the carriage.
Yeah.
It was a busy carriage.
It would have been because it's the Edinburgh Festival.
Correct. So. And it was a nice day.
Yeah.
So there was lots of people in the carriage. And I noticed, and I've never really paid that much attention to other people on a train, but what I noticed in the train was... The vast majority of people had headphones on
mm-hmm.
and they were minding their own business and listening to what they were listening to. So I decided, just for that 25-minute train journey, to look at certain people and try and figure out what music they were listening to. Have you ever done that before?
No, I've not.
Like stared at somebody?
Well, I mean, I've probably stared at somebody before, but I don't think I've ever stared at them to try and guess what music that they're...
Because they had their headphones on.
Yeah.
They were looking out the window or they were on their phone reading something. And I was just trying to figure out, looking at the kind of person that they were, how old they were. And I was trying to determine what sort of music would they be listening to. And are they looking at me thinking the same thing? Are they looking at me and going, that's that Ewan Cameron... For the radio and the telly.
What's he listening to?
What's he
probably
listening to?
The sound of his own voice, his favourite thing. So
I have been known to listen to me on the podcast.
Well, yeah, I mean, I listen back to the podcast as well.
But at the time when I was looking at everybody else.
Yeah.
And try to figure out what music they were listening to.
Were they doing the same to you?
I was thinking if they were doing the same to me, they'd never have guessed in a million years what I was listening to.
George Michael.
No. You'll never get it.
Xanadu?
No. She burst onto the scene in the late 1980s. She also sang on the theme tune to Clannad for Robin Hood, the Hooded Man.
Right.
In the 1980s. She's from Ireland.
Enya.
Enya.
Enya?
I was listening to Enya on the train on Saturday.
Is the biggest selling solo artist in Irish history.
Well, that's why I was listening to her.
Because what was her?
Caribbean
sail
Blue.
Away, sail away.
Orinoco Flow.
Orinoco Flow, yes.
Orinoco Flow. You then had Caribbean Blue. You had Anywhere Is, which is a great tune. I recommend if you've never listened to Anywhere Is.
You said I'd never guess in a million years, and I got it in two clues.
Anywhere Is.
No.
She's brilliant. So it was a nice summer's day. It was just the kind of music I was needing at that point.
Yeah.
Enya's amazing. Yeah. So that's what I was doing in the train, travelling into Edinburgh.
I'm sure Enya has some... Enya has sold 80 million records worldwide.
Oh, she?
80 million. I knew it was something obscene like that.
So she's phenomenal.
So I think I think she's only second to U2 in terms of Irish sort of like musicians or artists or anything. Enya is genuinely one of the best-selling music artists of all time. She was huge in America, so she's obviously minted
right.
as well.
Listen, I know it's a football podcast. Hold on a wee second.
Welcome to the big Enya podcast.
So Enya became famous all over again because of TikTok.
Ah, right, okay.
So... Yeah. So Orinoco Flow has got 204 million streams on Spotify, but the tune that is top, the most streams and the most listened to tune from Enya is Only Time. And when you hear it, you'll instantly recognise it for TikTok and Twitter.
Yeah.
That piece of music is used a lot. We can't play it here because we'll get...
It'll get the podcast taken down. So
yeah.
She lives in a castle in Ireland and she... basically tells you nothing about her private life.
Although don't know about her.
She's never been married. She's not got kids. And she lives in a place called Manderley Castle.
She has 4.5 million monthly listeners. That's how popular Enya is. So that's why I was listening to her.
Yeah.
Well, also, another thing from the weekend, a wee recommendation. Give me my movie thing. Thank you. Last night, it was the closing ceremony of the Olympics.
Yeah.
And for the first hour and a half of the closing ceremony, which France was in charge of, it was a pile of pish. I was bored. I was yawning. It was terrible.
It's the bit where they're like, and this obviously represents agriculture in France. They do that in every ceremony.
Do you know what they did? It was an interpretation of when the Earth dies and there's no humans left on Earth.
Yeah.
Because what happened in the late 1970s, because it happened in France, they put a capsule together and they shot it into space.
All right, okay.
And so the story was that some far-flung...
Civilization
found this capsule and then they travelled to Earth, but when they got to Earth... There was nobody here.
We were done. Aye, this podcast didn't even exist.
Yeah. We're dust.
Yeah.
We're dust. So that was their story, and it was boring, and I was yawning.
If I hadn't
read rumours on Twitter about what was going to be happening later in the ceremony, I would have turned off and went to bed because there had been rumours circulating that Tom Cruise was going to turn up to take the Olympic flag from the French to take to Los Angeles.
Tom Cruise is a creep, though.
You think he's a creep?
Oh,
he's a lovely guy. I love his movies. So I sat up and I waited.
That's a strange man.
So this is my recommendation. There'll be a lot of people out there who will have turned off the closing ceremony because it was shite. You need to go back onto the BBC iPlayer, fast forward it to the point where the French go, right, we've done our bit. We're now handing the flag over to Los Angeles. Los Angeles then turn up with Tom Cruise and Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Billie Eilish and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It is a
bit with the Hollywood sign was very cool.
That's what I'm saying. It is a phenomenal handover. It's one of the best handovers you will ever see of the Olympic flag. So I highly recommend you go back and watch that on the BBC iPlayer. Don't watch clips and bits and pieces on Twitter or on Instagram. Watch the full handover from start to finish. It is epic. It is superb. Brilliant television, and it was so well executed. So that's my recommendation. Watch the closing ceremony of the Olympics when the flag is handed from France to Los Angeles.
Okay, so let's get to your comments from last week then. On the pod being back, the Fizzer says, the morning bus run in Brisbane, Australia is now a joy. Great to have the podcast back. That's from a buddy supporter. A buddy in Brisbane. A Brisbane buddy.
Well, they didn't have a good weekend, did they?
Didn't have a good weekend, though. Kay McLeod says, nice to see Ewan absolutely lose his mind over a quiz again. We're back, baby. Matissia, as a Swedish, Celtic and Scottish football fan, you have a new fan and listener.
What's the name?
Matissia.
Matissia.
M-A-T-T-I-A-S-A. Matissia.
I'd say Matassa.
No, because there's an I in there after
Hakuna
the
Matassa.
No, I don't think so. So a Swedish, Celtic and Scottish football fan and a new fan listener.
That doesn't sound like a Swedish name, though, the way you pronounce it.
So did you ever have, like, exchange people at your school? Did you have any like foreign people, like who came over for like 6 months?
Stephen, I grew up in Wester Hills.
Okay, right. Fair
I
enough.
Was in Dunbride and Grove. So they're not going to send exchange students to Dunbride and primary school.
They should do. They should do. No, they should do. That would have been amazing. And then, I'm talking about high school.
But then the French mum and dad would have been picked up by somebody to say, "Why are you sending your children to Dunbride and primary school in
no,
the Wester Hills
primary
education?
School?
But even I was at the Wester Hills Education Centre. Who's sending their children from France or Sweden or Finland
probably,
to the Wester Hills Education Centre?
Yeah, but I'm talking, this was
to deal in hash.
This is the, this was the mid-noughties, right? So, like,
yeah, but I was there in the late 80s.
You were there in the 70s, right, didn't you?
Trust me.
They didn't have flights back then.
I'm telling you this right now. The schools that I went to, if somebody from France, Sweden, or Norway turned up, I'd be asking questions of their parents.
Right, okay.
It's no
happening. No, but somebody went the other way. Did you like?
We didn't have the money to go the other way.
No, but it was like, I don't think you had to pay for it. It was just like a sort of, the school did it.
We weren't allowed.
Right, okay.
We were like away.
Could have went to Norway or Sweden and had a great time. You'd have loved it.
Mate, we could barely scrape 2 pennies together to get the bus to go to school, never mind going to Norway or Sweden.
Aye, but
I didn't know anything out with Wester Hills until I got to 16, 17 when I ran away and jumped on a plane.
Well, I mean, exactly.
Right, I had to get out of Dodge.
Anyway.
So you're saying, why did you not go to Norway or France?
No, I didn't
or
Sweden say, I didn't or say that. I didn't say that.
I was
why?
In Wester Hills.
No, I'm saying that, like,
there were tyres burning outside my bedroom window.
Anyway, right. The reason I bring it up is because
people were putting dog shit through my letterbox for a laugh.
People still do that, to be fair.
Well, that's what they were doing.
And I've told myself I should stop doing it.
There were people who were burning dog shit and newspapers on your doorstep, and when you please, stood on it, it would splatter everywhere.
I don't want to talk about that.
That's the kind
that.
Of thing that was happening.
Right.
People were putting fireworks through your letterbox on like firework night and then standing and laughing your head off because you fired a firework into somebody's house.
We get the picture.
We used to go into the, you know, the big steel bins. So you used to put your rubbish in a chute and it'd go down the chute.
Yeah.
We used to set the bins on fire. Then the fire brigade would come out and we'd all laugh and joke about it. Not realising at the time that we could have set the entire scheme in a blaze. That was the kind of joy that we were having. I used to run around in the summer with my Wellington boots on. And one year my granny thought, that's a bit fucking, like, it's wrong that you run around in your Wellington boots in the summer. Because what would happen, because it would be so hot in the summer and the Wellington boots were up to your knees, you'd get that ring around the top of your leg. But because of the heat, there'd be a rash because of that material of the boots. So one year my granny decided to cut that bit and we just run around in the bottom half of the Wellington boots. And that looked fucking worse.
Yeah.
So that's you're saying to me, did you ever have an exchange student? No. So I'm just giving you a wee insight into what my life was and why nobody from Norway, France, or fucking Sweden were turning up at my place.
I was just trying to welcome our new Swedish listener.
Yeah, but then you asked me the question, did you ever have an exchange student? I didn't even know who a French person was. My only connection to a French person at that time in my life was Inspector Clouseau. And I thought all French people were Inspector Clouseau.
Right, okay.
Played by Peter Sellers.
Okay, right.
That was my only insight. And then at a later stage in my life, Vanessa Paradis.
Yes, who was married to Johnny Depp.
Je le taxi. That. Precisely. So that was the French people that. When it came to the Swedish, it was a fucking chef of the Muppets.
Right.
Again, I thought all Swedish people were that because I knew nothing else. And when it came to the French, the only thing I knew about France was, I just said, Inspector Clouseau. And when it came to Norway, I didn't fucking know Norway existed.
Right, so
I'm sorry, I've went on a wee bit of a rant there, right? Listen, I wouldn't be the person I am today if I didn't have those experiences that I had growing up in Wester Hills. But you know my life, and for you to even ask me the question, did you have any exchange students turn up at Wester Hills, is just daft, because you know that's not going to be true.
Well,
you know my life.
Well, listen, I mean,
unless they were coming to learn how to burn or to grow hash, or to...
Well, maybe that's what they were going for. Maybe some sort of, like, you know, gardening exchange. Under a different name.
Aye, probably.
Anyway, what I was going to say was, there was a Swedish exchange student when we were in fifth year, right?
Well, you're clearly in a better life than I was.
So, her name was Mie.
Mie?
Right.
Mie?
Her name was Mie.
How'd you spell that?
Well, I'll get to that in a second. Her name was Mie Larson, but it was spelled M-Y. So it was my Larson, and this was when Henrik Larson was obviously, like, you know, banging in goals for Celtic.
And she was my Larson.
And she was so confused. She didn't know anything about football, and all the boys were like, "My Larson, you are my Larson," like every single time. And this was just the greatest thing that had ever happened to all the Celtic fans at my school. So that's all I was going to say, but thank you very much.
See, that just shows you the different people that we are. We couldn't be any more different if we tried. There was Stephen hanging out with exchange students from Sweden.
I wasn't hanging out with exchange students.
They were coming to your school, so you're clearly in a really good school where you were accepting exchange students from France and Sweden and Norway and Belgium. And the only thing that we were experiencing
was burning shite and tires and
correct.
Stuff. We got the picture. Anyway, thank you for listening, and sorry about that.
And somebody, 3 days after Christmas, stole my BMX from the... So when you lived in a block of flats...
You don't need to speak to me about bikes getting stolen. I've had 4 bikes stolen in the last 5 years.
Right. I was 9 at the time.
Yeah.
So I've got a BMX.
Yeah.
And what we did, and if anyone who's lived in a block of flats will know this, there was a drying green.
Okay, yeah.
So there was like somewhere where you could put your wash in. It was indoors, but it was a drying green. And you had a lock. Mm-hmm. And you take your clothes in the drying green outside of your flat, and you put your clothes there. And there's a drying green on each floor of the flat. So there was our flat and the next door neighbour's flat, and we both used the same drying green.
Yeah.
And we put our bikes in there.
Did you have those big sort of wooden sticks?
Correct. Yeah. All that. And the lines were across, so that was all there. And we had our bikes in there 3 days after Christmas. Stolen.
Yeah, that's not
somebody
ideal.
Broke in. Back in the drying green. Then they take the clays, took the bike.
They would take the bike.
Right, and then rumour went round that it was somebody that I knew who then sold the bike to get cigarettes from the ice cream van.
I mean, how many cigarettes did they get for the bike? They must have got like...
No, they got money to buy cigarettes.
They must have got a year's supply.
And here's another thing about me growing up in Wesley Hills and why there was no exchange students in my part of the world. We used to buy single cigarettes from the ice cream van.
People did that at every school.
What, they turn up at the ice cream van and get a single cigarette with your 10p mixture?
Yes.
All right, so you did live... So that was happening in your
yes,
area?
Yes, of course.
All right, so not just my
Although
area.
By the time I was at school, it was 50p for a fag.
Oh, okay.
So inflation, you know.
Yeah, but was he handing out the cigarettes to eight-year-olds?
Well, I mean, it was school pupils, so yes.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, that's what was happening in my life.
Okay,
but I'm not looking for sympathy because I'm a success. I can prove you can get the other side.
Larky says, "Glad to be back. Never missed an episode since day one. Listened while I was walking up Tinto Hill.
Where?
Trying to hold my laughing so other walkers wouldn't think I was
Where's
a weirdo.
Tinto Hill?
Tinto Hill is in Scotland somewhere.
Well, why don't you Google it and tell me?
Tinto Hill.
I've never heard of a Tinto Hill.
Tinto Hill is...
Oh, I used. Do you know what I? Do you know what I did many years ago? Again, I'm going back to my childhood here.
It appears to be Lanarkshire, sort of south of Lanark.
I'm going to tell you a story here.
Near,
again, because I'm remembering living in Wester Hills.
Near sort of borders.
In Edinburgh. So what we used to do for fun is, obviously, there's not much to do because we didn't have any money and we didn't have that much to go around and we just played football all day. And in the summer, we used to go camping in the Pentland Hills, me and my pals.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd get some cans of juice and we'd put it in the stream to keep cold and all that stuff. And when you mentioned Tinto Hill and climbing up Tinto Hill, the reason that I've not been camping since, and I hate camping, is that I was in a tent with somebody whose name I will not name, and we had been eating Golden Wonder crisps.
Okay.
And in the middle of the night, in the pitch black, he was using a packet of those Golden Wonder crisps so as not to make a mess in the tent.
Every week.
So as not to make...
Every week. Like, you, I think you should just go and do a sex podcast. I think you should genuinely go and do that. Because that's all you talk about.
It's not. I'm just telling you a story because you talked about Tinto Hill. It reminded me of the Pentland Hills.
We literally had to bleep something out last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I said something. But only just to get your reaction. But that was...
Now you're talking about a special version of Shelton Salt and Shake.
Grim. Lying next to me. I mean, what's that all about?
Right.
Why?
Mikey 85 says, salmon fillet from the fishmongers must be nice. Get Polly a laser pen to chase. He'll absolutely love it.
Your cat, Polly?
Yes.
A laser pen. Cats love it.
Rick James, I'm not sure it's that one. Glad the podcast is back properly. Also, I used to work in a bank next to a fishmonger's, and the cash that they use used to stink of fish and be damp. Because remember we were asking, if you work in a fishmonger's, do you just permanently smell like fish?
Because my pal Gary Huckle.
Gary Huckle.
He was actually in Dunbriden Grove with me.
Right.
He was on the third floor in the block of flats across the road from me with his mum, Jean. And his sister Lisa and Laura.
Jean Buckle and Laura Buckle.
Not Buckle, Huckle.
Huckle, oh sorry, Huckle. Yes.
Buckle, Jean Buckle.
What a stupid name that would be. A review of the week comes from Colin Henvey, who says, a stream of consciousness from Ewan is more like a constant stream of pish.
Jeez.
Right then, some stories before we get to the weekend. Callum McGregor has retired from international duty. Ewan Cameron, your thoughts?
He deserves it. I wasn't angry when he called it a day.
I think we might have discussed it after the Euros. I said, I think Cal McGregor's going to retire for international football. But the only reason I say that is because he's probably looking at what Scott Brown did. And I think Scott Brown retired for international football when he was maybe 32, something like that, 33 possibly. I know McGregor's only 31, but he's probably thinking, well, if I retire for Scotland international duty, there's a good chance that I can play another 6, 7, 8 years at Celtic or whatever.
I think he's made the right choice. And do you know what? He's been a great servant to Scotland. As you know, I wax lyrical about that boy all the time. I love Callum McGregor. He's everything you want in a footballer.
I think it's that way where the midfield for Scotland is obviously a pretty strong area, but you know, if you lose somebody like Callum McGregor, it's obviously going to be a blow, not only because he's a good football player, his experience and stuff as well, I think I'll be missed around the place. I don't think he had a great Euros.
Nobody did.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think this cements Billy Gilmour as, you know, he plays every game.
Key.
Absolutely key for Scotland. Has to play pretty much every game.
Can I just...
And also, like, I know Ferguson's still a wee bit away for fitness. He's still got a wee bit to go.
He's the future as well.
Ferguson, Scott McTominay's going to be there for another few years. John McGinn's going to be there for another few years.
Yeah, Ferguson and Gilmour, 100%. Can I just put on record my thanks to Callum McGregor for his service to the national team? Always turned up.
Yep.
Always turned up. Brilliant service. Thank you, my friend.
Okay. And we'll get that message over to him. And, I'm sure it'll mean a lot to him.
That goal he scored against Croatia and made it 1-1.
Yep.
What a moment that was. So yeah, thank you, Callum, for everything you've done for Scotland. And I think you deserve to go out with your head held high.
Mm-hmm.
You've done your bit.
And, played at two major tournaments for Scotland. So,
yeah, well done, my man.
Kilmarnock and St Mirren both drawing their first legs at home in Europe last week. A bit scrambly for both of them.
Still in it.
Late equalisers, they're still in it. But
still in it.
Unfortunately, I think both of those teams look like they're favourites to go through. Both the Norwegian teams.
I don't fancy St Mirren or Kilmarnock getting through. I mean, St Mirren have got a better chance than Killy.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Because even though St Mirren lost yesterday, I thought they played all right.
I don't think they deserve to lose.
So I do think St Mirren have got a wee chance. Kilmarnock just haven't really hit it so far this season.
Can I just say, and I want to remind everybody of this. At the end of last season, when Derek McInnes finished fourth with Kilmarnock, got them into Europe, brilliant season. I said, that's as far as he'll ever take Kilmarnock. That's as good as it's going to get. He needs to leave now and go somewhere else for a new challenge. He's hang on, and he's going to may regret signing that new deal and staying at Kilmarnock, because I think they're in for an absolute pish season.
I think
they're not finishing fourth this year.
They might not finish fourth.
No, they're not. So that means they've gone backwards.
I know, but if Kilmarnock finish in the top six, that's still a fantastic season. And they've...
McInnes made a mistake staying there. Get out when you are... what's that word? When what's
or stay somewhere where they appreciate you.
See when... What's there's a phrase.
When your stock's high.
When your... That's it. Well done, you. God, I'm glad you're here. When your stock is high, that's when you get out, because then you become sought after and you're a wanted man. If you hang about a wee bit too long...
Who was wanting Derek McInnes in the summer like? Who was wanting?
We don't know.
Well,
we don't know.
There could have been no one.
Well, but you don't know that either. But no, he could have batted a few people away. Who knows? Who's to say that Hibs didn't knock on the door? But he maybe said not to that because of Malcolm McKay, didn't know he worked with a director of football. Who knows?
So he's made a good decision then.
I don't know. I'm just saying you don't know and I don't know. But what I was saying,
what's the point then?
Your stock is high, when you've taken a club as high as it can possibly go and have the season that you've had, you need to look elsewhere and take on a new challenge so that you don't ruin your legacy. We say it about players and we say it about managers, and I think Derek McInnes, as I said at the end of the season, will make a huge mistake if he stays at Kilmarnock. And as it stands right now, I know we're only a couple of games into the campaign.
Yeah.
I still believe he's made a huge mistake. Now, he could turn it around and prove me wrong, but I think he will. No, he won't.
He will. You
don't think he'll finish fourth, so he's a failure.
I think that. I think Kilmarnock getting into the top six would be seen very much as a success.
He's gone backwards.
And you would say that's a failure?
Yes.
But I mean, like, what are you expecting?
Either replicate what you did last season and get closer to third, but if you fall backwards, that's failure, and your stock has been, which was up there, is now somewhere down there. And then we are two games into the season.
Yeah.
Those days of where maybe a Hibs were maybe looking at you, or maybe Aberdeen were looking to bring you back. At the end of this season, you're at Cove.
So that means Derek McInnes is just a rotten manager. Then is that what you're saying? Well, why would he be at Cove?
I'm talking about his stock. His stock was so high, he could have picked.
Yeah, but his stock will remain high.
No, like, it doesn't. If Kilmarnock have a pish season, it doesn't remain high.
But well, it depends what your definition of a pish season is. Yeah, if they get relegated, obviously. But then if Kilmarnock finished top six, I would think most people would be like, Derek McInnes is still doing a good job at Kilmarnock.
Right. What I'm going to say,
he's not going to be ending up at Cove.
Let's just keep an eye on this one, right?
Right. Okay.
Let's just keep an eye on this one.
Also last week, Rangers in European action over in Poland against Dynamo Kyiv and 1-1.
Surprise.
Dynamo Kyiv obviously beat Partizan Belgrade.
9-2
in aggregate. And I think most Rangers fans going into it were, with a wee bit of dread.
Well, we were saying if they can come away with a 1-0 defeat, that's a result.
But Rangers, from what I saw, it was on earlier and I was still working, so I was only catching bits and pieces, look like they'll be able to beat Kyiv at Hampden.
They will. I think they will. That's tomorrow night.
And then it's either Salzburg or FC 20.
And Salzburg are 2-1 up from the first leg, and the return leg is in Holland.
Yes.
So that's 50-50 that game.
So Salzburg are a pretty decent, like pretty regular in the Champions League and stuff. So.
It would be funny though if 20 get through, then Sam Lammers turns up at Hampden to play Rangers and then scores a winning goal to knock Rangers out. I mean, it would be funny. But it would also be sad because, as everyone will know who listens to this podcast, I'm a huge supporter of all our clubs in Europe, and I want Rangers in the Champions League. I want Celtic to have a decent run in the Champions League. And I'd love to see Kilmarnock, St Mirren and Hearts all do well in Europe. But I think it'll just be the three clubs in Europe this year.
There's also been a lot of transfer news this week as well.
Oh,
so
doing
let's
this pitch
get
again?
To that. So if we could have the music, please.
And
we can welcome in Jim White. Here he comes. Hi, how you doing? You all right?
Give me up.
Oh, you need to do it. That's right. You tell me and I comment.
You comment, right.
Isn't that brilliant? I've hung up my yellow tie and I'm here with you, Ewan Cameron. Great to be here. Fantastic. Great times. What you got this morning, Ewan?
Weirdly, people actually enjoy your Jim White.
Right.
Weirdly.
Who? What?
Hibs have signed Junior Hoylett from Aberdeen on a fee.
Junior Hoylett.
On a free.
Not to be confused with a younger man, because he's actually ancient. So
ancient Hoylett.
It's ancient Hoylett, they should call him.
So yeah, they signed Junior Hoylett.
Because he's old.
Kieran Bowie arrived at the tail end
Kieran
of the
Bowie,
week.
Of course, son of David. Great guy. And George.
Yeah. And he came on against Celtic yesterday. And
hit the bar. Yeah. He hit the bar. He hit the woodwork.
I don't know why
they call it woodwork, because it's not made of wood, Ewan. I don't know why they do that.
Dundee United have signed Emmanuel,
the guy from Norwich.
Adebayega from Norwich.
From Norwich, yeah. Yep. Norwich is in England, Ewan.
Yeah, Aberdeen signed Ante Palaversa from Troyes.
Indu Troyes, yeah.
Is it Troy?
They signed him from three in French. That's what it is, yeah.
Troy?
Troy. Oh, yeah, Troy. Troy Deeney, I know him well. Great goal scorer for Watford. Great guy.
What's the French pronunciation for Ante Parvasa from Troy? Is it Troy or Troyes? Troyes?
Indu Troyes, yeah, it means three.
Oh, right, I'm not going to bother.
Okay, right.
He was once signed for Man City for £5 million, this boy.
£5 million?
And Aberdeen have got him.
I mean, that's buttons for Manchester City as well, we'd say.
Atalanta have had a fourth offer of £20 million plus rejected by Celtic midfielder Matt O'Reilly, who was very good yesterday.
Matt O'Reilly, Danish but sounds Irish.
The Italian club are determined to sign the player, apparently. Brighton are still in the mix. However, Celtic are holding out for around £24 million. I think they need to look for 30.
£24 million. That is a lot of money, Ewan. That is 24 times £1 million. And you, as we know, £1 million is a lot of money as well.
Celtic have lost out on Hugo Bueno.
Hugo Bueno?
Yeah, Feyenoord.
That's not very Bueno.
This is a strange one. Celtic interest.
That was a Spanish joke.
When's the transfer window closing?
Never. It's been wedged open forever, Ewan. You're going to hear this in your nightmares. Right, let's go.
Here's a strange one. Celtic interest in signing Crystal Palace's Jeffrey Schlupp.
Jeffrey Schlupp. That's the noise that you make when you have your cup of coffee in the morning, is it not?
That's the noise I heard in the tent in the Pentland Hills.
Schlupp? What's he doing to himself? God almighty. Take a rib out. Carry on.
Here's a big one.
Big one
is this. Mioski's gone. He's away to a Champions League club.
Jan Mioski waving goodbye to the Pittodrie faithful yesterday. Emotional scenes.
Yeah. 6.8 million.
6.8 million, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
I believe Aberdeen's record sale. Yeah. They've done a fantastic deal. And where's he going, Ewan?
Girona. And do you know what makes it official? Not that we've got Jim White here with us, but Fabrizio Romano gave this one the here we go.
Here we go. He's away. He's on his way to España, which is Spain in Spanish. Where's my music gone?
Yeah, where's the music gone?
Give me my music back. Louder. Thank you.
Okay.
Carry on.
Frank McAvenny,
I know him well. Big Frankie Macca. What a boy. Birds and all the rest of you? Yeah, great times.
Frank McAvenny, it would appear as though he has some sort of contact because he says that Rangers are going to miss out on Hannibal from Manchester United.
Hannibal the Cannibal.
The Man United midfielder, because Frank believes that Hannibal will not be going to Rangers but will be joining Celtic instead.
That would be quite the turn up for the books. Hannibal, of course, loved him in Silence of the Lambs. Fantastic portrayal by Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Interesting names in the frame for the Wraith Rovers job.
Wraith Rovers, of course, in Fife.
Christophe Berra.
Sounds French, but he's actually not.
He's not, and he's returned from coaching in America, so he's available.
Right. I don't think that'll be happening, though.
And another name that's been thrown into the hat for the Wraith Rovers job, former Rangers striker and Drumchapel United coach, Nacho Novo.
I think, to be honest, there's more chance of me being Wraith Rovers manager than Nacho Novo.
Okay.
Of course, named after a very famous snack and car. Right, let's move on to the Premiership. And we'll start on Saturday. Rangers at Hampden to take on Motherwell. First win of the season for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Motherwell had, 8 players out on Saturday? So I think, given their second half performance, Motherwell will be pretty pleased to keep it to 2-1.
Jack Butler made a great save 10 minutes from the end, though.
He did. Vaclav Czerny looked pretty decent. Good goal.
Good player, good goal.
And Robin Proper, obviously, couldn't do much about the own goal.
Nah.
Never ideal to score an own goal on your debut.
Desser scored.
Desser scored again. So there's going to be another couple of games at Hampden for Rangers, obviously Dynamo Kiev, as we mentioned, and then there's League Cup on Saturday. Motherwell play Killy in the Cup on Sunday. In terms of Rangers, what did you make of their performance?
First half
looked pretty
decent. Very good. Good football, quick football. Czerny looks like a player on the right. Decent, liked him a lot. Barron, he started his Rangers career well, and I had question marks about him, but he's fitted in really, really well. He's been a standout in the first couple of games. I thought he was very good at Tynecastle, excellent at Hampden as well. I think what Rangers need is somebody else in there with Barron and Diamande, because I don't think Lawrence is that player. I think he can have his moments and he can have his day, but I think Rangers need a proper number 10. I don't think Lawrence is that player. Will Cantwell make a comeback?
No.
I don't think so either. But yeah, first half, decent. Cherney looks like a really good loan signing. What else can I say about Rangers? Proper didn't really have much to do. Motherwell had one shot on goal, but they could have snatched a late equaliser and were unlucky not to. But
They kept themselves in the game.
And Butland made a sensational left-handed save late in the second half. Rangers deserved to win the game. They could have been out of sight in the first half, but the longer it goes 2-1, the more nervy it gets, which is why I still believe that Hearts, despite their blip at the weekend, will still be there or there's about.
Do you think they will get past Dynamo Kiev
yes.
on Tuesday?
Yeah, I think they'll win tomorrow night at Hampden. I've got no doubt about that. I think that big pitch, the atmosphere.
I saw something, somebody saying about the big pitch at Hampden. Do you know that it's only, I think, half a metre wider than what Ibrox is?
It makes a difference, though. You can stretch it further.
I mean, half a metre is like that.
But that's still half a metre more to run. Half a metre more to run.
I don't think it makes that much of a difference.
Well, it does if you've got to run half a metre more every time you run.
I don't think it does.
It stretches it.
I think...
any little help helps.
Right. I'm going to save my chat for that because it will come...
What, about the pitch?
About the pitch later on.
So, listen, I thought Rangers were very good in that first half. Attacking, created a number of chances. I don't know how... Wright misses that chance when he takes it around the goalkeeper and obviously the defender does well to get back, but he's got to score that. But some decent football, some good one-touch football. So you can see there's something there for Rangers. They're nowhere near Celtic's level, don't get me wrong, but you can see there's something. So I think with each week that they play together, I think they will get better, but I still think they need other players in there to get anywhere. I don't think they get anywhere near Celtic, but to try and make some sort of fist of it.
Elsewhere on Saturday, Ross County 1, Dundee United 1. Ross County, first half, probably should have been out of sight against Dundee United. Dundee United played much better in the second half.
Correct.
And took the lead, obviously. But yes. Then 95 minutes on the clock, Ronan Hale, just basically Dundee United were attacking and somehow managed to lose a goal.
They were down in the corner flag. Yeah. The Ross County corner flag, so they've gone from one end of the pitch to the other in 30 seconds.
So ended up 1-1. However, the best moment of the match was undoubtedly Miller Thompson managing to miss from about 4 yards out and blaze it over the bar.
In the first 30 seconds of the game.
I think it was 11 seconds on the clock.
Was that how long it was?
Yep. And he didn't just miss, it went out the stadium,
yeah,
which is quite incredible. So Ross County have Spartans in the Cup, so they'll be going through the quarterfinals, and Dundee United are home to St Mirren at Tannadice at the weekend. Let's move on to Dundee 3, Hearts 1.
Oh!
So after their famous victory 0-0 against Rangers last week, it was a big loss for Hearts in Dundee. A calamitous first half, I would describe it as. Gerald Taylor, the new Cafu, according to Ewan Cameron. How did he do on Saturday? Did he have a good game, Gerald Taylor? Or
do you want to ask me more questions and I'll get to it in just a second? Are you quite happy just for me to just pick it up from here?
Well, what I'll say is, you know, obviously the second half, Hearts, you know, they made a fist at it. They won the second half 1-0, if you're looking for positives. Stephen Naismith wasn't happy. He says, if you want to be at a club like Hearts and be successful, you have to empty your tank week in, week out. We didn't do that tonight. Hearts play Falkirk in the Cup on Saturday at the Falkirk Stadium, and Dundee host Airdrie. Ewan Cameron.
Okay, we're second game of the season.
Yeah. I mean, this time last season, you were calling for Stephen Naismith to be sacked.
Oh, it'll happen again this year if he doesn't stop what he continues to do, which can pisses off me and annoys every Hearts fan that I know. I've been on Jambo's Kickback, I've been on Twitter, I have been on Facebook, and every Hearts fan is pig sick of him thinking he's some football genius. Stephen Naismith, I am telling you now, and I'm looking down the camera on the YouTube channel, you are not a football genius. Who do you think you are? You need to cut out the tinkering. We go and play brilliant against Rangers at Tynecastle in a game where we have struggled over the last two or three seasons. In that first half at Tynecastle, we should be 2 or 3 nil up. We play a back four. We're attacking. We're dynamic. We are a joy to watch. We're playing decent football. We're creating chances. Dando was outstanding. So I'm thinking, as I said to you before the game, you'll just pick the same team. You'll go with the same. You'll just say to the lads, you know what, lads? You were brilliant last week. Out you go. Do the same. No, not Stephen Naismith, because he's better than that. I'm Pep Guardiola in the making, me. I'm going to make a couple of changes. I'm going to tinker with the formation and I'm going to drop our best player from last week. Yes, Jan Danda, you were outstanding.
No, Gerald Taylor played. He scored the wrong goal.
Jan Danda, you hit the crossbar, you created chances, you were a thorn in the side of Rangers all last week. But do you know what? Because you were so good, I'm going to drop you. I'm dropping Jan Danda, you fud. He drops him and he brings in a central defender. He goes 3-4-3. Or is it a 3-5-2? I couldn't work it out. If I can't work it out, I could tell by watching it, the Hearts players couldn't work it out. They were all over the place. They're running into each other. They didn't know whether they were coming or they were going. Barry Mackay's never a number 10. Why is he putting Barry Mackay in at number 10? I have no got a clue. Lauren Shanklin was scratching his head. It was an absolute joke and it was abysmal and it was embarrassing. And I'm going to say this to Stephen Naismith right now. What I don't like about you is that you never take responsibility for nothing. It's everybody else's fault. You were stood there in front of your Hearts TV, in front of the cameras at the BBC, in all the radio interviews, and you blamed everybody else, but at no point did you take any accountability for how you set that team up. Why did you change that team? Why did you change the formation? Why did you drop your best player? You should have come out, and the first thing you should have done was is apologise to the fans. Did he do that? Did he hell? Doesn't give a shit about the fans who made that journey from Dundee to Dundee. And half of them left at half-time when it was 3-0. Did he apologise to the fans for that performance? No, he didn't. Did he take any accountability for the changes he made? No, he didn't. He blamed everybody else. He threw the players under the bus who were underperforming. And I'll tell you why they were underperforming. It's because of you, because you think you're Pep Guardiola. You're Stephen Naismith. And you're very lucky to have one of the biggest jobs and best jobs in Scottish football. If you don't cut out the tinkering, your time at Hearts will be very, very small. You will not survive this season. You will not survive till Christmas if you continue with the pish that we're having to put up with. He did it all last season and he got away with it. There was a couple of times last season we were 2-0 down. I think we're 2-0 down to Dundee. We came back to win it 3-2. I think there were times we were 1-0 down at halftime and he had to make changes because it wasn't working. Stick to a winning team. Aberdeen, yesterday. They won last week, same 11. Celtic, same 11. No tweaks, no hand. Boys, go and do your thing. He had to change it. Why? Ask him the fucking question, somebody. Take accountability for your mistakes. And sitting in the day, I was reading Barry Anderson's done some great stories about this. And every story that I've read, he's blaming the players, is Stephen Naismith. And how some of these players are going to be dropped for the game against Falkirk because they didn't turn up. They didn't turn up because you were playing a shite formation, crap tactics. You didn't give the players the chance to be the best that they can be. Why did he change it? Anyway, I don't want to carry on about it because I could sit here all day.
But I did say you did win the second half 1-0. So you
next
should.
Next game.
You
next,
should. No, I want to speak about Dundee for a wee bit because I think I thought Dundee looked really good in the first half and I think they deserve a wee bit of credit. Yes, Hearts were poor, obviously, but I thought Dundee played really well and I think they're going to finish top six again this season. Thoughts?
No, I've said what I needed to say.
Aye, but just about Dundee.
You've said the positive thing about Dundee. What more do you want me to add?
Well, I think you could be a wee bit of class.
No, there's not. Well, class about what?
About Dundee.
You've done the Dundee bit.
About Dundee outclassing Hearts and stuff.
You've done the Dundee bit. I don't need to sit here and chat Dundee. You've done that bit. So I've talked about Hearts. You chatted about Dundee.
I know, but I'm not a Dundee fan. And Dundee fans will be wanting to hear.
No, they don't give a shit what I think of their team.
Your positive contribution.
No, they don't get.
Like Dundee were just miles ahead of Hearts in the first half.
You're trying to get a bite, and I'm not biting.
No, I'm not.
You're throwing out the fishing line, and then there's a big worm sat there in front of me, all juicy and swimming about, trying to tempt me into taking a big bite on that hook.
I like to be positive.
Well, you be positive. Why are you asking me to be positive about Dundee?
Because I think you should. I think it'd be better for you if you were a wee bit positive. You were getting a wee bit hit up there. You were getting a wee bit of hit up.
I'm waiting for the next game.
No, but I'm saying
I'm going to sit here in silence until you move to the next game because we've done the Dundee Hearts game.
No, I don't want to prolong it. But
well, you are because you're pissing me off now.
What I'm saying is, you know, you've said what you've said, and that you're entitled to your opinion. You were getting a wee bit worked up there, is what I was saying.
Yeah, and I was stopping myself from saying things I was going to regret.
Aye, really?
Yeah.
Right. But I was just saying that I think Dundee deserve credit for how they've started the season. I was impressed with them at Tannadice.
You said that three times.
Are
you
coming back for two goals, yeah, like twice actually coming down, and then obviously Hearts with, I mean, imagine what Hearts' budget is compared with Dundee. Huge difference, I'd imagine. Double, maybe. And Dundee absolutely tore them to shreds in the first half.
Boy, just you wait until we get to the Championship with Dunfermline Falkirk, you prick.
Just absolutely ripped them apart.
Yeah,
so,
You know, you've clearly forgot what's coming when we get to the Championship.
Right, let's move on to the games yesterday then. Hibs 0, Celtic 2. Pretty comfortable for Celtic, particularly first half. So Cal McGregor, spoke about earlier on, cracking goal, second goal. Couldn't give them the lead after just a few minutes. Hibs were better in the second half. But, you know, the game was done, you know, when the pressure was off.
But better in what way?
I thought, to be fair, I actually thought Kieran Bowie made a difference when he came on. I thought he came on and
looked
pretty
decent. But when you say they were better, I mean, they couldn't get any worse.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Celtic took their foot off the gas.
They did. But two pretty comfortable wins to open the season for Celtic. And yeah,
six goals scored, none conceded.
They look like they're finding a groove under Brendan Rodgers, which is worrying for everyone else in the league.
It'll be interesting, though, Stephen, when O'Reilly goes.
Yeah,
how that affects their midfield, because he's so good.
And the good news for Hibs is they play Celtic at Parkhead this weekend again. So
good luck.
Exactly. You know, there's obviously big problems at Hibs. We spoke about it last week. I mean, David Gray isn't going to get sacked, you know, after Saturday or whatever. It's after that.
You won't be judged on games against Celtic.
No, exactly. Exactly.
But you will need to win that game against Dundee, I think it is.
Yeah, I'm just checking.
Is it not Dundee at Easter Road?
I think it is. It is Dundee at Easter Road.
See, that one by easy.
But yeah, totally. As I've just, well, as you know, Dundee are a really strong side, and you know they absolutely took Hearts apart on Saturday. So they shouldn't have many problems.
I'm going to bite. They didn't take us apart. We'd gifted them three goals.
See, again, that's you with the negativity. Like, you can't see the positive side of things. Dundee played well, and it's always Hearts' fault.
Xander Clark goal kick was shit. Own goal and a penalty. There you go.
Yeah, but I mean, you need to create those chances still. You need to get in the position.
Okay, move on.
Yeah, Hibs have Dundee, then they're away to Kilmarnock. So they've got a tough couple of fixtures after the League Cup game.
I think those are must-win games, right? Or 4 points at least from those two games, or Gray will be out.
Kilmarnock 0, St Johnstone 3. So I think it's fair to say Kilmarnock are not coping well with the European matches and the league matches at this moment in time. And obviously, the sending off for Joe Wright after 16 minutes does not help. They were already a goal down there.
Yeah, they were 1-0 down
by that point. Sidibe looks like he might be the answer to St Johnstone's problems this season.
Looks decent.
We've said for a number of years now that St Johnstone have struggled to score goals. Sidibe, a couple of goals. Got what?
Him
and Kimpioka have got 10 goals between them.
Yeah, there were flashes of Sidibe against Aberdeen that I liked. So I think he's a decent player.
St Johnstone had to wait until February last season for their first away win of the season.
They've done it.
And they've done it already. So yeah, long week for Kelly. They are in Norway on Thursday, and then they're away to Motherwell in the Cup. So it's been a pretty heavy start to the season.
Yes.
For Derek McInnes. I don't think Kilmarnock will go through in Europe. I think after that we'll probably see a different Kilmarnock team, and I think they'll pick up as the season gets going.
Okay.
St Johnstone, cracking win for them though. I mean, 3-0 to go to Rugby Park and win 3-0, even against 10 men for the majority of the match.
Coop and Buster.
You still need to go and win it. And yeah, Craig Levine will be extremely happy with that, and a very welcome 3 points for them. Finally, in the Premiership yesterday, another team who just keep on winning at this moment in time. Aberdeen 3, St Mirren 1. The early signs under Jimmy Tilleen is they look pretty good. They're going for it. They're attacking. Compared with last season, anyway, he's got your man, what's his name again?
Sockler.
He's got Gay, you know, playing well, who was, I mean, I think they paid 850 grand or something for him.
McGrath's very good.
McGrath took his goal well.
What I would say about Aberdeen,
St Mirren, by the, and I know I said this earlier on, I thought St Mirren played pretty well, and they were a bit unlucky.
That's my point.
But
so Aberdeen are not back because I thought St Mirren deserved a draw. I thought they deserved something out of the game.
They're already 5 points ahead of Hearts.
Who?
Aberdeen.
Right. That was my point about Hearts.
Yeah.
Stephen Naismith has to learn a lesson from what happened.
You need to give credit, like, when Aberdeen win matches.
Stephen, it's two games. Two games in.
You were wanting Derek McInnes. You were almost calling for Stephen Naismith to be sacked. You were this close to doing it.
I'm saying it's going to get to that point if he doesn't learn the lessons of Saturday. Listen,
you know what?
Listen, Jimmy, what's his name?
Jimmy Tilleen,
right, can... Listen, League Cup campaign, great, right? I think they won all their games. They scored a barrel load of goals.
They play Queen's Park in the Cup.
I'm saying in the league side of it, they were great. Won all their games. So they've taken up momentum into the league. Narrow 2-1 against St Johnstone. And then they've gone and beat St Mirren 3-1. Now, let's be brutally honest here. Mm-hmm. Let's be brutally honest. At the start of the season, you and I would have predicted that Aberdeen would have won both those games.
I don't know.
No, you would have done.
Not the St Mirren game.
Listen, they've had a good start to the season because they've had...
Do you know what I'm getting for this?
If they could have handpicked their fixtures...
You feel very threatened by Aberdeen. That this is what this is. You're feeling extremely threatened by Aberdeen because you know that, yeah, they're still not firing on all cylinders. Far from it. They've got a new manager. They're getting used to a new style of play. But the early signs look pretty good and you're shiting your pants. You're shiting your pants. Yeah.
Listen.
This is what this is. Yeah, there it is. You're so transparent.
The computer has been kind to them.
So, yeah, yes, I'll give you that. So they're at home at Kilmarnock after the League Cup. Then they've got Ross County.
See?
Then they've got Motherwell at home.
Told ya!
Then they're away to Dundee. Then they play Hearts on the 5th of October. So,
wait, at Tynecastle?
No, it's at Pittodrie.
Oh, so, see? This will be...
You're feeling... You're so threatened. I mean, it's all it's taken. Aberdeen fans, if you're listening, if you're watching, it's taken two wins in the league. And Ewan Cameron is shiting his pants about Aberdeen already. He's absolutely cacking himself.
Right, it's only two games and there's 36 to go. I still think Hearts are going to be there or there's about in challenging Rangers for second.
Right, luckily there was no matches in the Championship this weekend.
Championship!
So we'll move on to League One.
No, we're not moving on to League One because the Championship for me is the best league. It is an unbelievable league. I think it's one of those leagues where everybody can beat everybody. I think there's going to be shocks all through the season. And what a weekend it was. The big game of the weekend, even bigger than anything that was in the Premiership, it was the derby between Falkirk and Dunfermline at East End Park. What was it? 7,500 fans turned up for a Championship game there?
Yeah.
7,500. Brilliant. Great to see. The fans turned out.
What I would say is it would have been more than that had Dunfermline not been absolutely dog meat so far this season. Yeah. I think that our form probably took another 1,000 off the crowd easy.
Another 1,000. So
like, if we'd started the season really well, you'd have been cracking on for 10,000.
But again, 7,000 plus, and there's Falkirk fans.
And it's great for Falkirk because they get to come to a stadium that's got four sides and everything, and, you know, they'll appreciate that.
And the Falkirk fans turned up in their thousands. They sold out their allocation, and I think they thoroughly deserved their 2-0 win, didn't they? Producer John, Falkirk fan. He's running around the studio playing Amarillo. I didn't know he was doing this.
When the day is dawning on a Texas Sunday morning.
I wish you could see Stephen's face.
I better stop. It just got obviously more demonetized.
You've got Falkirk jersey on as well.
Hi, Stephen.
Well, what do you want to say? We're talking about the Championship just now.
What were we talking about?
Falkirk being done.
We're talking about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
What do you want to say? Stephen was a Falkirk fan, him being a Dunfermline fan.
There's a lot of things I'd like to say, and a lot of things I'd like to say.
I know, but you're still working on that suspension because you were off last week as well, obviously, and you said things that you regretted. So, congratulations on your first win against Dunfermline since 2017. So, well done on that.
Is that right? 2017.
I don't think that's right.
2019 then?
It's been a few years.
So when you two were in League One, did Falkirk never get a result?
No, did they, John?
No, they didn't.
But listen,
it's not about League One, it's about the Championship, and I believe it was 2-0 there at the weekend. Dunfermline very poor, Ewan, I have to say.
Oh, they were poor,
Very, very poor. And I believe they've not won a game since March at East End. Oh, no, they beat Spartans.
They beat Spartans in the League Cup.
In the League Cup.
No, that was at Spartans.
That's the only one since March.
So let's what's going on at Dunfermline, Stephen?
What's going on at Dunfermline, Stephen?
I mean, you've got your finger on the pulse, mate.
Average age aside, I think on Saturday was like 32 for Dunfermline.
Mm. That's not good for the future, is it?
No, it wasn't. That's bullshit.
Is that? Right?
You've just made that up. Absolute bullshit.
Can I just say, though, I thought that Falkirk weren't that great either, but they did enough just to win the game. I don't think you were that great.
Didn't have to be. Didn't come out of third gear, really.
So what's happening at Dunfermline?
What is happening at Dunfermline?
James McPeak must be on a shugly peg.
Oh, shugly.
Shugly peg.
Yeah.
John, fuck off. You're boring me now. Go away. You've got work to do. You're not on the podcast this week. Just fuck off, right?
Da 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 da, da, da,
da, da, da, da, da, da,
fuck off.
Go away! Go away!
There's a way to Amarillo. Feeling hugging my pillow. Go away for the chorus a bit. Amarillo. This is a bit here. Show me the way to Amarillo. Wait for the bit where you go Falkirk. The cheery bit. The cheery bit. Here we go. Cha la 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 Falkirk. Cha la 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 Falkirk. Cha la 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 la.
Bye, Stephen.
Dee, 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 dee. Such a happy wee tune, that. That's cheered me up after talking about shitey Hearts. So what is happening at Dunfermline, Stephen? He's gone. Did that feel like an out-of-body experience for you?
What the fuck was that?
Are you embarrassed for him?
Yes. Yes, I am.
He's a grown man running around in a Falkirk jersey.
Grow up, John.
Playing Amarillo on a phone. Although, having said that, though, when Hearts, when I do a happy dance, is that embarrassing?
Yes.
So what was worse, my happy dance or him?
What... That was horrific, and I never want that to happen again.
James McPeak, what's happening?
So, Dunfermline fans, there is a board meeting today, I believe, at Dunfermline. I believe James McPeak will be keeping his job as Dunfermline manager, but I also believe there may be some other announcements this week. I genuinely don't know what they are.
But there's talks, there's things going on.
But I think wheels are in motion for something else this week. I genuinely don't know what.
So can I just ask you a pointed question? Wheels are in motion, but nothing to do with the manager?
James McPeak will be the Dunfermline manager come Raith Rovers a week on Saturday.
Okay.
Unless something goes drastically differently from what I've been told.
Does he want to stay?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Right.
Because I think he quite likes having a job. You know, but he sounded dejected.
He
was talking after the game about how the squad's still really light. And, you know, to put it in perspective, Dunfermline, 10 senior players left in the summer, and we've only signed 3.
Oh.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't add up.
Yeah.
So while I think if we had everyone fit and we had a complete first 11, we would be fine. I don't think we'd be winning the league or challenging or anything, but we'd be fine.
Yeah.
Obviously, Chris Kane only was fit enough to play about half an hour on Saturday, and he looked a bit, you know, unfit.
Yeah.
Benedictus picked up a wee injury at the weekend as well, which is bad. So, you know, you're not going to go through the entire season without getting injuries or suspensions. That's just completely unrealistic. So you need to have a squad depth. So you've got decent players to come in. And we didn't have that last season, and it should have been rectified over the summer, and it's not been. So, yeah, I believe, clearly, to say the least.
I'm holding in a laugh here because I want to get a wee violin out.
What?
Listening to you.
How?
We've got injuries and we've
not. I'm not blaming.
Somebody's there and he's got a wee injury and Benedictus has picked up a wee knock. And do you know what else? Our squad is quite like wee 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 wee.
I mean, after your
continue crying, my friend, I'm enjoying this
pathetic rant earlier on about Stephen Naismith and you shite your pants about Aberdeen. Like, I don't think you're
calling me pathetic. You listen to yourself.
No, I'm not. I'm not being pathetic at
all. You are.
I'm calling it as it is. I've given some inside information as to what I think is going to happen this week.
Wee 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 wee.
and hopefully that hopefully we'll have some positive news.
My violin needs retuning.
Anyway, let's move on to the other matches. Friday night, Ayr United looking good. 5-0 winners against Airdrie. A thumping win for them. And yeah, Ayr United recruited well over the summer.
Yeah, I did tip them to be there or there's about for the league.
Yes, you did. And they were very impressive against Airdrie. So Scott Brown off to a decent start so far this season. It was 1-1 between Queen's Park and Livingston on Friday night. So an unbeaten start for Livingston, winning a draw for them. Queen's Park picking up the point there on Friday night after losing to Falkirk on the opening night. Elsewhere on Saturday, it was 0-0 between Morton and Hamilton. First point of the season for Hamilton. And Raith Rovers, managerless Raith Rovers. It was John Potter and Colin Cameron in charge. Managed to beat Partick Thistle. Partick Thistle did get a man sent off.
Big result that for Raith.
It was a big result.
Against one of the title challengers in Partick. What a shite start they've had.
They have. A draw at home against Morton and then a defeat against Raith Rovers at Starks. So, yeah, they'll need to pick up because, again, they were one of the favourites as well. Signed quite a bit over the summer. Right, League One. So, cracking win for Kelty Hearts against Stenhouse Muir. 2-0 winners. Stenhouse Muir winning their opening game last week. Kelty Hearts drawn at Montrose. So, Kelty up to 4 points. Queen of the South winning against Cove Rangers by 2-1. Coming back for that one. Cove were leading. Annan 1, Inverness 0. They are struggling.
I said it at the start of the season. I think they'll be there or there's about for relegation.
Arbroath 0, Montrose 0, Dumbarton 3, Alloa 3 rounds it off in League 1 for you then. And finally, League 2, Stirling Albion 0, Elgin City 1. That means 2 wins from 2 for Elgin City after they beat East Fife last week, so they're top of the shop. Spartans beating Bonnyrigg 2-0, Clyde 1-0 winners against Stranraer. East Fife 2, Edinburgh City 0 and Peterhead 2. For Athletic 1. Right, so
nothing against the people of League 2, but I zone out during that bit.
That's a bit harsh. I don't think you need to say that. Like, everyone's entitled to support whoever they want. And if people want to support East Fife, then that's great.
I zoned out there, whatever you're saying.
Let's move on to some refereeing decisions at the weekend, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, so nothing much happening in the Rangers game. Rangers Motherwell, Kevin Clancy was the man in charge there. I mean, there was a couple of things, but nothing really that, like, you know, like the Dundee penalty was a penalty.
Gerald Taylor should have been sent
Gerald
off.
Gerald Taylor, I was going to ask you about that. Do you think it was a sending off?
I'm just going to be honest. And
that would have summed up his day.
He deserved a sending off. It's a red card for me. He's very lucky. And I'm kind of surprised the VAR didn't go, I think you need to look at that and then upgrade your yellow to a red, but I thought it was a red card.
Jack Walton taking out Ronan Hale in the Ross County Dundee United match, not looked at by VAR. It was a play on. Alistair Johnson caught by Joe Newell.
I thought that might have been a penalty.
Bursic as well.
No, the Bursic one, I'm not. I think it was a 50-50. They both went for it, honestly. I know he's caught him after the challenge, but I thought the Johnson one was one that should have been looked at, possibly.
There was Sockler was tackled in the box near the start of the game against St Mirren, not really looked at. The big one from the weekend, and Dent McInnes was raging, it was Chris Graham who was in charge. Danny Armstrong was adjudged to have dived.
Yes, I thought there was contact.
On the edge of the box. So I believe that the reason why it couldn't be overturned is because they believe that the contact was outside the box.
Yes.
So therefore, they couldn't overturn it and give a free kick.
No, they couldn't because it's a free kick.
But, you know, it was a free kick and now Danny Armstrong's been booked, which
correct.
Is ludicrous.
Yeah.
You know.
And you can't change that.
Yeah.
You can't appeal a yellow card or anything like that. So I can understand why there was
anger. It was one of the sort of quirks of VAR.
Correct.
That led to that, even though, I mean, he didn't dive.
No.
He did get caught.
And what I would say is, in the first couple of weekends, there's nothing major that I would point at as being hugely controversial. So far, so good for the referees, in my opinion.
Okay then, this is the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Told you.
With Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, okay, it's time for overrated, underrated. Each week myself or Ewan Cameron will pick something that is either overrated or underrated, and it's up to you to cast your vote and either agree or disagree. Last week, you went for,
I think that Kelly pies are overrated.
Okay. The results are in. Can I have a drum roll, please? 64% of people have agreed it's overrated. So there you go, Ewan Cameron, a victory for you. The Killy Pie, according to 64% of people, is overrated.
Yeah.
There you are.
So it's now time to choose something that is overrated or underrated.
Before we get to that, we had some interaction. John Rell says, coincidentally, I'm having one for my dinner. I was watching this pod. It's delicious, not overrated. Terry McAdam says, what is it with Ewan constantly hating on Killy? Is it because they've got a good record at Tynecastle over the years? You do hate Kilmarnock. Other pastries you should have put forward as better include the Dunfermline Steak Bridie, the Arbroath Steak and Black Pudding Pie, and the Capello Kebab Pie.
I like the black pudding bridey
that
pie
does
thing.
Sound good,
that
yeah.
does sound very
that does
good.
Sound good. Right, time for me to nominate something.
See, before you do that, can I just put something forward?
Yeah,
that I think is underrated.
Yes, right. I'm happy to cede to you if it's
no. I'm just putting something out there, but you may have to beep this.
Sake, you're going to do this every week.
Mm-hmm. Can you put the camera on Stephen's
right,
face.
Okay. Right,
so.
Right,
put the camera on Stephen.
Just hide yourself behind the mic.
So. Okay, so I think this is underrated. You ever tried it? Have you? Have you ever tried that? Has your missus ever tried that with you? It's underrated, mate.
I'm not having this conversation.
Are you saying you've never tried that?
No.
Okay, well, I would recommend it.
Right. Okay.
Are you visualising me there? Can you see that picture?
Shut up.
Can you see me there?
No, I can't. No, I can't.
You must see it.
Right.
Do you want to see it?
I am going to say...
You need... Can I just... You have to beep that out. Okay. Anyway.
I hope they don't.
No, they have to. You can't have that in the podcast.
I'm going to nominate...
I had so many people message me last week, including Jerry Taylor.
Yeah.
From the At Celtic.
Lots of people. Yeah, asking. And I was like, I can't. I can neither confirm nor deny. And this week's worse. Right. I'm going to nominate something that is overrated.
Go on then.
I'm going to say overrated.
Overrated, yeah.
Football under the lights.
That's controversial.
I think football under the lights is absolutely overrated.
I disagree with you.
For a number of practical reasons.
Tell me.
So, it's usually in the winter, so it's Baltic. You're at night. It's cold, it's raining, you're miserable. It takes ages to get home. You don't get home until late. So it's much better playing at 3 o'clock on a Saturday than it is under the lights.
There is something magical.
There's not.
About a big game under the lights with a bit of drizzle where you can see the drizzle in front of the lights.
There's something magical about 3 o'clock kickoffs on a Saturday.
Nah.
Where you can enjoy yourself, you can go out before, you can go out afterwards.
Nah.
Under the lights.
I would play...
That phrase... Overrated.
I would play every game under the lights. I wouldn't play every game. What I would say is I would play every big game, like an Old Firm derby, an Edinburgh derby, a Dundee derby, games that
bite. The Dundee derby last week when it was on Sunday lunchtime, that was terrible.
Oh, it was a great game. But what I'm saying
is... It would have been better if the lights were on.
Yeah, if the lights were on.
Bollocks.
If the lights were on.
Absolute bollocks.
No, there's something,
overrated.
There's something
overrated.
About the light. There's something about the floodlights and darkness...
I've seen some of the worst games I've ever seen in my life have been under the lights.
So you think it's overrated?
Of course it is.
Games under the lights is overrated. You ever been to Parkhead or Ibrox on a European night under the lights? You ever been to Tynecastle in an Edinburgh derby under the lights? You ever been to a European game at Tynecastle under the lights? I'm telling you,
some of them
special.
Have been shy.
Scotland games under the lights at Hampden. Phenomenal.
I've been I went to see Scotland versus Italy at Hampden. Kenny Miller scored, and that was...
Oh, the 1-1 game.
The 1-1 game. Scotland versus Germany.
That was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but I know it got dark.
No, it wasn't. It was a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, you're right.
I know I'm right. Scotland versus Germany around a similar time. Mm-hmm. We played them again. I think Kenny Miller scored that day.
He did as well, yeah.
Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. A great game.
I think you're going to lose this one.
Well, no, but I just think...
I get what you're saying.
Do you know what it is, right? I'm not saying that it's underrated. I'm saying it's overrated because people bang on about it, but I think it makes no difference. Like, right. I've seen some absolutely appalling games under the lights.
I get what you're saying.
But I've also seen appalling games on a Saturday at 3 o'clock, obviously. So I don't think it makes any difference whatsoever. And people build it up under the lights. Oh, under the lights. And I'm just like, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Okay. And then when people, when there is a good game, because there will be a good game in a midweek game, of course, because just in the same chances that there'll be a good game on a Saturday, everyone's like, ah, it's under the lights that I've done it. I'm like, no, just because it was a good game.
There, I don't know.
Overrated.
I remember as a wee boy going to Hampden in the cold, wet, it was a dreek night, it was a bit foggy, and I turned up at Hampden, I think it was in 1985, and we beat Iceland 3-1, and Paul McStay scored a fucking thunderbolt with his right foot in the top corner. And ever since that night, I'll never forget it for as long as I live. I adored that night. It was the coldness, it was the fogginess of it, the fog and the lights at Hampden, a full stadium, wee bit of rain in the air, the breath coming off as you breathe, that smoky thing that comes out and you pretend you're smoking a cigarette when you're a kid. And I think it was from that memory of being under the floodlights at Hampden for that Scotland game, I've always preferred a game and a big game under the floodlights. I always bang on about it. I love floodlights. Although I don't like lights in my house, I like to turn them off.
See? There you
especially
go.
When I'm...
You can... make sure and believe that. Yeah. Right. You can vote on our socials. We'll get the result to you next week. Abic Football Scott. Leave your comments on YouTube as well.
Do you
well.
Not have any opinion on that?
No. Remember, Super Scoreboard
has your
YouTube
wife ever
channel.
Hinted?
Just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard on YouTube. And
what would you say if your wife hinted at?
We're across Scotland every Saturday, myself and Ewan, on the big Saturday football show. Fourth One West FM, TFM, MFR, North Sound One. And it's myself alongside.
You can use my VIP Ewan. Card if you want.
Steve Cowan, former Hibs and Aberdeen striker. Right, we're going to quickly... What are you doing?
I've dropped my microphone.
So, last week, we introduced a new feature on the show.
Did we? What was that again?
The Masked Footballer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hi!
I forgot about this.
So, the producer has sourced a footballer and we need to guess who it is through a series of yes or no questions. Last week... We guess that the mass footballer hasn't played internationally at senior level,
no.
but has youth caps.
Correct. So it's
and we worked out they were Scottish. Because we've only got aye or no.
I mean, I represented Scotland in under-15s when I was... it wasn't Scotland as such, as in I wore the Scotland jersey, but... In the club side,
I probably wore a Scotland jersey when I was 15 as well.
But
so.
No, the club side that I played for, they picked the best players from each of the clubs, and we played in a tournament at Carrow Road. So I can say I represented Scotland. If you've not got a cap at the senior level, tells me you're no that good and you're quite shite.
Well,
so it's clearly not a it's not a great footballer we're talking about here.
So are we? You know, this footballer could still be playing.
That's a good question.
We've never even thought of that.
I think that's a good question. Because we're allowed one question.
Yeah.
Until we get to what we're...
Well, we go with that. Are you still playing currently?
That's the question.
Is that the question?
I think that's a brilliant... I haven't even thought of that.
Right, okay.
Because if it's a current player, then that narrows it down
as
well.
We're ready for our question this week for the masked footballer. And the question is, are you still playing football professionally?
Aye.
So it's a current player.
It's a current player. Is it? Do we have a current player on Super Scoreboard? Somebody plays football right now. Current players? Is there anyone on the team?
No, yeah. Well, Brian Graham's been in and about.
That's not.
Scott Allen has been doing a couple of shows. He's playing McKelty. Scored on Saturday.
Would it be Scott Allen?
Has he not been cap senior? Has he not got a senior Scotland cap?
Go and Google that.
Absolutely no idea. I would have thought.
I'm not sure he has, actually. I think he was just too injury-prone. He was a great player, talented player, but I don't think he never really got a decent run at it.
No, he didn't, actually.
Did he get Scotland caps at junior level?
You got four caps for the under-17s and 10 for the under-21s. Who did others say? Brian Graham.
Brian Graham. He never got a senior cap.
I mean, what I would say, see, producer John, less time farting about with Amarillo, and see if he's just got a standing super scoreboard pundit to do it, I'll be raging.
So will I.
Because that's lazy.
That's very lazy.
That's absolute lazy.
Scott Allen's not a bad shout, so we need to think of a question for
so
next week.
We can rule out Brian Graham. Okay. He didn't have, so it's not Brian Graham.
So on our short list,
we've got Scott Allen.
And then I think we need to find a question for next week that rules him out, but maybe ruling others.
Right, okay.
Yeah?
Right, okay. That's
so
fine.
What do we know right now? So we know that this player didn't get a senior cap for Scotland, did get a cap under 21 level.
Or caps.
Yeah. Or caps at under 21 level. And today's question was, he's a current player.
He's a current player.
And he's playing right now.
So this person is still playing.
Okay, there we go. Like that.
Okay, okay. Let's move on to Round the Grounds then. So each week we're going to delve into the wonderful world of Scottish football. A story you might not know about or might have heard about in the past and then want to know a wee bit more. So this week we're going to look at Inverness Cali Thistle because it's been a horrific sort of few months for them. Relegation from the Championship. Chairman Ross Morrison stepped down in June as well because they were going to move their training base to Kelty and Fife.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, hundreds of miles away from Inverness. And yeah, the club then revealed they were potentially facing the administration unless they can find investment as well. So what is going on at Inverness? To tell us a wee bit more about it, pleased to say that from the Wine & Shuffle podcast, Stevie is joining us on the line. How are you doing, Stevie?
Not bad, boys. Thanks for having me on.
No, no worries at all. Sorry if you had to hear any of our chat from earlier on, if you were hanging on the line there, so I apologise for that, first
no
of all.
Worries.
So, listen, defeat against Annan on Saturday. It was a draw against Dumbarton on the opening day as well. What is going on at Inverness, Stevie?
This year's version of Scottish football's, the team are ridicule. I think it's getting embarrassing to support them. And I was down at Annan on Saturday and played well, but just it goes back to Duncan Ferguson's terrible style of football, back five, horseshoe football, an academy coach that's out of depth. So we'll get troubles on the pitch, but that's nothing in comparison to the circus off it at the moment.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that then. So it's not going well on the pitch, obviously. Relegation, as I mentioned, yet to win in League One. Off the pitch, what is the latest?
Scott's still there. He's working the longest notice period in history.
But I was under the understanding that he had resigned. So has he resigned or not?
He's offered his resignation, Ewan, but he's still there. He's still got the keys to the front door. He's essentially running the club.
Yeah,
he's in charge of bringing investment into the club, which for any club who's letting go of an employee, giving them the autonomy to bring in new investment, that reeks to me. I think it's.
I mean, just to be honest with you, and put my cards on the table here, I'm pally with Scott Gardner because I remember him when he was at Hearts and we got to know each other really, really well. Mm-hmm. I've had a relationship with Scott, been out with him, etc., etc., etc. If I'd known that he was still there, that you were coming on, I would have actually have arranged for him to come on and maybe answer some of your questions. So I wish I'd known this earlier because I genuinely thought that Scott was gone.
No. Listen, we've got a podcast. Long time, Scott was always good with us with the podcast. I just think now there's a lot of stuff happened off the pitch. All stuff mm-hmm. that's got nothing to do with football, but it's wrong decisions in terms of guys trying to chase the big ticket bucks and taking their eyes away from the actual bread and butter of running a football club. I like the ambition of it, but I think they were out of their depth. So that's where these issues and all these
I'm not sticking up for Scott here by saying this, but I mean Scott would have been clearly ambitious. They've aimed for the stars and they haven't quite got there, but had they got there, we're not having this conversation. So would you not rather have had for them to have had those ambitions and try and reach those goals?
Oh no, I totally agree. I think on the COVID year we had two sold out stadium shows that were hosted by a company, and then we also just rented the stadium out. I just thought they had a good idea to also take the full, maybe get more piece of the pie. But
yeah,
if you're not, I know Scott's got a background in doing, you know, events and stuff, and that's another company which has been successful, as you'll know. But
yeah,
I just think that it's maybe shooting the stars too high. I think we maybe had to.
Is it too much too soon, Scott?
I think it's too much in general. I think of a club of our fan base and even the potential, we've obviously punched above our weight for years. I don't think it was sustainable.
I think
the lack of communication is something that the fans who listen to this and have got an associate with Inverness will always testify that the communication at the club, long before Scott as well, just to give him some credit, has always been poor, which is evident in this current potential takeover. We're still left in the dark. The press releases have been short and sweet, and don't give you too much. That's probably why you guys don't really know much either, because we don't give out info, and we hold a card close to our chest.
So what's the aim for this season then? I mean, because League One is, you know, you look at the other teams that are in League One, there's no big teams there, there's no local rivals there for you, you know, there's not going to be many big crowds at Cali Stadium or anything.
It's the Bakers and the Candlestick Makers.
So, like, what's the aim for this season? Is it, you know, you have to be looking to get back up at the first hit?
No, I don't. I think any realistic MRS fan is looking for survival, and I mean finish eighth. I mean, it's getting that bad. It's good. The Celtic debacle was obviously we nipped that in the head, and that was fans that actually just said, like, this isn't happening. But we sort of went with this tagline, this mission statement. We're going to go with young players, your local players, which is great, but they're going to get burnt out. I think the team, barring three or four experienced boys, if you know League One, you know it's big boy. Dunfermline are down there, as you know. You need to have a bit about you, just not just skillfully. I mean, be physical, be a bit more street smart, and I don't think we've got enough of that in the team to get us anywhere near sort of playoff places where we thought we would be.
Yeah. Well, listen, Stevie, thanks so much for coming on. I genuinely wish you all the best. I hate it when anything like this happens for any football club, and I'm genuine about that.
Wouldn't mind it happening at Hibs, but yeah, I agree with it.
I hate when all this stuff happens and mismanagement and...
I've been there.
You know, years of it.
I've been there. A lot of clubs have been there, a lot of fans have been there, so you have our sympathies, my friend.
And you know, we had the Queen's Park fans on, I think last season or the season before, and we had a sort of set two with them, and you know, everything was going fine at that point because they were, you know, nearly winning the league, and I was just like, well, see, if this does all fall apart, it will all fall on yous to pick up the pieces, because that the fans are always there, and they're the ultimate fallback. And I don't think it should be like that. It should never get to that case anyway. But listen, Stevie, genuinely, all the best. That's Stevie from the Wine and Shuffle podcast. Thanks so much for coming on the show this morning, pal.
And he's away.
And he's away. Right, so that was Stevie from the Wine and Shuffle podcast talking all things Inverness. So there we are. Might be a new season, but the first quiz of the week was last week, and of course I won it, so let's do another one, shall we? Okay then. It's the penalty shootout quiz. It's five questions we are going to get. You are going to write down your answers on your fancy iPad. I'm going to do it on my sheet of paper. So, producer Scott is in this week. He is the quiz master. Hello, Scott. How are you doing?
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me back.
No problem at all. Great questions last week, I thought, particularly the tiebreaker. I'm looking forward to the questions this week. Are you ready, Ewan, after your hissy fit that you had last week?
What? Let's just carry on.
What do you mean, let's just carry on?
No, I'm not biting again. Go.
What are you biting
just,
for?
Just do the quiz. Let's do this.
All I'm saying is, I was just... For those people who missed it last week, Ewan lost the quiz again. When was the last time you actually won a quiz?
Eye of the Tiger! I'm ready! Let's do this!
I know you won it.
Shut up!
No, I'm getting my sheets of paper ready.
Shut up!
Because I know when I'm off, because I quite like going on holiday.
Right.
That's the only chance you get to win.
Stephen, I've got to go to the Edinburgh Festival. Can you just shut up and get on with the quiz, because you're doing my nutting already?
Okay, right. Scott, are we ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay, guys, question number one.
Yeah.
What is the official title that John Moss now holds in his new job?
I mean... You want the actual official name?
His job title, yeah.
Oh, right. I'm just turn the timer off. Have you written something down?
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay.
There's an English former English referee who's come up to help Scotland, and I'm just going with it. My answer is.
VAR guy.
VAR guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going for director of VAR.
Oh, wow. Okay, both of you are wrong.
And Marshall is safe!
Any questions are, Fanny?
One of the biggest stories of the week.
Oh, shh.
What is it?
He is the VAR manager.
Ugh. I was close. Director of VAR.
I was VAR guy. That's close.
No. Okay, right. Question number two. Let's go. 0-0.
Question number two. Who scored the most Scottish Premiership goals in the 4 years that Rangers won in it after their administration?
Say that again.
Is it a team or a player?
For a player, sorry. So which player scored the most Scottish Premiership goals in the 4 years that Rangers won in the league after their administration?
Is he asking this because it's not a Celtic player? Because they weren't there long enough to score all those goals? Is it somebody else within the league? What years was that again? Was that 2012 to what? 2016 or something? 2017?
I think you're bang on there.
2012 to 2016, 17?
Yeah, I've got an answer.
Have you?
Yeah.
See, I'm going to go with this. Well, I've got an answer.
Got an answer?
Yeah.
Okay. You go first, Ian.
Am I going first?
Yeah.
Reminding me of the question.
Oh, wait, no, you went first last time.
No, I'll go first again. I'm happy to go first again.
Which player scored the most Scottish Premiership goals in the 4 years that Rangers won in it after their administration?
I went with an Aberdeen striker.
Adam Rooney. That's not a bad shout, actually.
I've actually gone with Adam Rooney at Aberdeen.
Right. That's not a bad shout at all.
I'm going to build a bit of tension. You in?
And Marshall is saved! Yes!
Okay, so I have gone for Lee Griffiths.
Oh, what a shout that is.
Lee Griffiths. So the player who did it scored 74 goals during the time.
It must be Lee Griffiths. It has
to be. And it was.
There we go. Unlucky, Ewan. Unlucky. That was a really good shout, Adam. Genuinely, that was a good shout. Adam Rooney, but it was obviously the wrong answer.
Does it matter? Does it matter? No, well, it's a good shout or not? Fucking wrong.
I was just going round to say, but it was the wrong answer, so that means.
Question
that
three, move on.
Question number three. 1-0 to me.
Okay. Another goals question. So,
for fuck's sake, man.
Who scored more goals?
What is this with the more goals shite? We did the same last week as well.
Who scored more goals in the 1990s for Brazil? Ronaldo or Romario?
Oh, that's a good question. That is a great question. My answer begins with R-O. Just to let you know.
And I'll say that...
I don't need you say anything.
Hold on.
I don't... No, you don't say a thing. I don't want you saying a bloody word other than the question that was in your mouth that you've just given us. Why are you laughing? I'm sick of this. These fucking questions are stupid.
What do you mean they're stupid?
Goals, this and goals, that.
It's me to go first. I've got my answer down, Scott, so I'm ready to go. You got your answer down?
Yes.
You ready? Right, okay. Here it is. My answer is Romario.
Romario? Ewan?
Because I think that Ronaldo was injured for a lot of the 90s.
Ewan, what have you gone for?
I went for Romario for the same reason that Stephen has said. I think Ronaldo came into being his own in the late 90s, noughties. Yeah.
So it was really tight. It was 36 to 34 was what I was trying to say before Ewan interrupted
me. Oh, jeez. Way closer than I thought.
Oh, totally.
But it doesn't matter because this is good for you that we're going for the same answer. This is why these 50-50 questions are shite.
Aye, okay.
And Marshall is saved!
Ronaldo!
Yes!
Interesting.
See the 50... See, going forward, the 50-50 questions don't work because if we go for the same answer, I'm screwed. He's won the lap after three questions.
And it's very funny. Keep them coming, Scott. Question number four. Let's go.
Okay. Which club won the first Europa Conference League title back in 2022?
I've got the right answer.
Say the question again.
Which club won the first Europa Conference League title back in 2022?
I think it's that. Where am I sitting just now? If I get this, but if he gets the same as me, it goes to the final question then, doesn't it?
You still get your top bin.
Yeah, no, this is question four, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, go, I'm ready.
Right, okay, Ewan, reveal your answer, please.
Right, I think it was Jose Mourinho and Roma.
I also think it's Jose Mourinho
and
Roma.
Oh, why? See this? We're doing this.
It's you that wanted to do the quiz like this. You literally wanted to do the quiz like this. You wanted to give us the same questions so that there was no conspiracy and you and Stephen got easier questions. Right. So now we're getting easier questions.
It's irrelevant whether we're right or wrong because we've done the same answers.
Yes, that's us both right. Well done, Ewan. Well done. Well done. Question five. That's you got a point now, though. But I'm winning 2-1.
So this question, I'm not going top bin. I'm just going to take the risk and take it to a tie break.
Okay, right.
I'm not.
That's what you did last week, and that didn't go very well for you because you thought that Scott Brown had played for 28 seasons.
Right. Final question, go.
Here we go.
I'm 2-1 down, aren't I?
Yes. Yep.
Question five, go.
Who knocked England out of the Euros 20 years ago?
Why are you laughing?
Because I think we'll both get this right. And that means I've won.
I've got my answer.
Because I've got it right. Like 100%.
I think I've got it right as well, because it banged on about it during Euro 2024 when England got to the final.
Right, well, you go first then. On you go, Ian.
I pray you've not got this. Because last week, to take it to a tie break, you got it wrong.
Because
I got it right.
Well, let's review.
I have gone with, my answer is Iceland. I think that was an embarrassing result with, what's his name, Roy Hodgson. I think it's Iceland. So
they did put England out of the Euros.
What answer did you give before we find out from Scott?
I went for Portugal. Because what was the question, Scott?
Who knocked them out?
Who knocked England out of the Euros 20 years ago?
So that would have been
20! Not two! Roy Hodgson was the in charge in 2004.
That would have been 2004.
It's Portugal with Ronaldo with a wink!
That was 2006. But can you reveal whether.
I didn't listen to the.
Tell me whether I'm right or not, Scott. Just do the thing.
Piece of shit!
So that's 3-1, Ewan. I've won the quiz. You've got a wee iPad pouch.
I've got a wee iPad pouch because I protect my dad. Why are you laughing at my pouch?
Oh, amazing times. Right, hit the music, Scott. Come on, let's have a wee celebration. Thank you to everyone for all your support from last week's quiz.
Nobody's supporting you.
You know, you don't know
all these people that
the supportive messages that I get from everyone. Yeah, I'd like to thank
my... It sounds like he's got some big sort of fan base.
I'd like to thank my family as well. They've always been really supportive.
Even your family don't fucking like
you. Oh, honestly, they do. They send me messages all the time. And yeah, that is yet another win for me. There he goes. Nice, Ewan. Bye-bye. Nice doing a podcast with you. Bye.
Fuck off.
There we are. Another victory for me. So, great times. Right, we better end the show, I suppose, since he's away. So here we are. And yeah, we're going to be back next week with another big Scottish football podcast. That was him slamming the door there. Thank you very much for all your interaction today. You can leave all your comments at Big Football Scott. You can vote there as well for Overrated, which is my selection this week, which is Football Under the Lights. It's overrated. Have your say, though, at Big Football Scott. You can also get in touch on YouTube as well. Just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard, the YouTube channel, and you can subscribe so you get a wee notification when the episodes go live as well. So thanks for watching, thank you for listening, and all your podcast places. Leave us a big fat juicy 5 stars if you wish as well. That would be much appreciated, and we'll catch you next week for some more big Scottish football action. I've been Stephen Mill, he's been Ewan Cameron, and enjoy the rest of your week, everyone. Cheery bye for now.